Open your Bibles again with me to the book of Ruth. It's not the fault of the people. The blame lies with the pulpit. People hear what's preached to them. They know what their pastors teach them. And preachers have neglected the Old Testament for many, many years and have taught the Old Testament as a book of history, romance, proverbs, and stories, most of the time exalting the characters of the Old Testament rather than the Christ. And about all the average person knows of the book of Ruth is her statement to her mother-in-law, which is fabulous. It's really a confession of the believer who says to Christ, "Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. Where you go, I go. Your people are my people." And that's their confession of fellowship with one another. They're brought together as one body, one family in Christ. And Ruth, her character is not the cause of God's grace to her. Her character is a result of God's grace in her. Like every believer, what she was by the grace of God. But the key to the book of Ruth is Christ. There's one word that's the key to the book of Ruth. You'll find it in chapter 2. Verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living, to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man Boaz is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen, near kinsmen." Some of you have a Cambridge Bible, and there's a little number 2. By that one of our near kinsmen, next kinsmen. And in the margin it says, "one who has the right to redeem." Kinsman, redeemer. For your information, the word kinsman, only 4 chapters in this little book, and the word kinsman is in this little book 13 times. Count them sometime. Kinsman, 12 times. Kinsmen, M-E-N, once, 13 times. And that's what the book is about, our kinsman redeemer, who is Christ, one who has the right to redeem. The Old Testament reveals Christ, our redeemer. There was a young preacher in Wales, in a Welsh village, who had been invited to preach for this old established congregation. And he was quite honored to be invited to preach for them, and he worked on his message. And he came that Sunday morning and he preached from an Old Testament text. And when he finished preaching, he was quite satisfied with what he had done. And he was standing down at the front of the church, shaking hands with the people who came by to speak to him. And he noted an elderly gentleman, well-known old elder of the church, coming in his direction. And he reached out his hand to the old elder and called him by name. And he said, "How did you like my message?" And the old man said,
is a very poor message. And the young fellow was shocked because he was pretty well satisfied with it. And all the people were talking about it. But this old man says a very poor message. And the young man said, I prepared well. And the old man said, yes, I could tell. You worked on that message. You prepared well. He said, what about my presentation? He said, you have a good voice and you speak well. What about my illustrations? Oh, he said, they were moving. Well, he said, why, if I prepared well and presented it well and illustrated it well, how can you say it's a poor message?
He said, son, there was no Christ in your message. Christ wasn't in your message. Christ and him crucified. Well, he said, sir, Christ wasn't in the text.
You don't see the word Christ in this book as I read.
Christ was not in the text. He said, son, never forget this. Christ is in every text. To him give all the prophets witness. Our Lord opened the scriptures to his disciples in the prophets, in the Psalms, in all the scripture, and preached himself to them. Christ is the Old Testament. Every text leads to Christ and to the cross. And your business is to get on that road to Calvary. When you read that text. So, how's that here? All right, you heard the story as I read it. Naomi determined to go back to Bethlehem because of the Lord blessing Bethlehem and the famine was over. And here in Ruth chapter 1, let's go back to verse 19. So the two of them, here are these two women. And they walked a long ways. They walked from Moab to back to Bethlehem. Somehow made their way. Much desert country. They were poor. You'll see in a moment just how poor they were. No husbands, no income, no home, no land, no houses, nothing. So the two of them, verse 19, went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? She had left there, well, we know 10 years, probably more. Don't know how long she lived in Moab with her husband, but 10 years the sons were married and died, but 15, 20 years. She left there a beautiful, wealthy woman. They owned property in Bethlehem. They sold out. They sold out and moved to the pagan countries. They left Bethlehem and the Lord's people, sold out, moved to this pagan country. And she describes it. She said, call me bitter. Don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. The Almighty dealt bitterly with me. I went out full. I went out rich, beautiful, strong, with a husband, two fine sons. And I'm back here empty. I went away full, and now I come back empty. Rich, I come back poor. Sweet, come back bitter. Now pauper. Well, you see, that's a picture of the fall. The fall of man. When God made man, he made man beautiful, healthy, strong, wise, in his own image. That's what it said. God created man holy and upright, but man sought out many invictions. Left God, went to the pagan country. And now when I look around me and I see men and women, we're depraved. Demented, mentally sick. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. The sole of the feet to the top of the head. Nothing but wounds and scars and bruises of the fall. Evidences of the fall. Wrinkled and old and weak and depraved and dying. Yeah.
In Adam, we all died. We went out of the garden full, and now we're empty. We went out of the garden kings, and now we're paupers. We went out of the garden sweet, holy, righteous in Christ, in God. Now we're without hope, without help, without God, Paul said in Ephesians. The king is now a pauper. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seek God. This is a picture of the fall. I see those two women coming into the town, and these old friends, they look at her and don't recognize her. They ask her, "Is this Naomi? Is this the man God created in his own image?" It's a poor picture, isn't it? Well, let's look at chapter 2. Here, that's the ruin by the fall. Here's a picture of sovereign love. I want you to watch this. Now, one key, it says in verse 22, chapter 1, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Barley was the crop that they used for bread and all other things, but they were reaping. The famine was in the land. Now there was plenty of everywhere. And they were reaping the barley. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. You know who his mother was? You remember when Joshua came to take Jericho? And there was a woman who ran a house of some sort, entertainment and beverages and whatever goes with it, in the wall of Jericho. Her name was Rahab. And God, she found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Only family in that town, in that city of Jericho. And the spies came and she hid them. She said, "I've heard of your God. I've heard of your deliverance across the wilderness. And your God is God. And when you come to take this land, would you remember me?" It sounds like a thief on the cross, doesn't it? "And my family." And Joshua's men said to her, she had a home in the wall. Her house was in the wall. The wall was around the whole city. And there was a big, thick wall, probably as big as this room. But there were houses and stores in the wall. Her window was outside the wall. Her door was inside the wall. And they said, "You get your mother and father, your family, and get in your house. All up. Don't go outside the house. Stay in the house. And put a red, scarlet streamer out of the window. That's the blood of Christ. And you stay in the wall, and you'll be preserved." And when Joshua and Israel walked around that wall, the whole wall fell. But I can tell you one thing. There was one part of the wall that didn't fall. That's her house. God preserved it. As Rahab the harlot. It's her son. Would you believe that? Isn't that something? Now look it up. This is her son. The reference right there in the middle of your Bible is Matthew 1:5. Rahab begat Boaz. And Boaz was akin to Elimelech. He's a kinsman. I'm going to show you something in a minute now. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said, "Well, go, my daughter." The custom was then, these reapers went through the fields and they reaped the barley, the corn or whatever. And they didn't do a total cleaning job. There were pieces of barley that fell behind them. Now, naturally, in any field, when you pick cotton, there's cotton left over. When you pick corn, there's corn left over. When you pick barley, barley's left over. And the poor beggars of the town could come behind the reapers with their sacks and pick up this barley, put it in a sack, and go and mill it
and go home and make bread. Poor people. And usually these folks that followed the reapers were abused. They were abused. They were laughed at. They were ridiculed. They were beggars. And these proud, rich field owners and reapers made fun of them. And this is a lowly, lowly, lowly position to follow the reapers and pick up pieces of they left. And she said, "You go, my daughter," verse 3. And she came, she went and came and gleaned in a field after the reapers, and her, it happened. Her happened was to light on the part of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was a kindred of Elimelech. Now let me tell you something, that things that just happen don't just happen to God's people, to children of God or sheep of God. They happen on orders from the Lord, according to the purpose of the Lord. This one, this girl, there were a lot of fields in Bethlehem. But the Spirit of God directed her before she knew the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus led her before she knew the Lord. That's right, brought her to this field. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." He was a godly man. His mama was a godly woman. The Lord, my goodness, what a heritage. And they answered and said, "Lord bless you." And Boaz said to his servant, he saw Ruth. He said, "Who's that?" Can't you just imagine? He saw her before she saw him. He fell for her before she knew he was on the place. And that's the picture. The Lord loved us from the foundation of the world. He saw us, beggars. Beggars. Poor. With nothing. Nobodies. The foolish God had chosen. The weak. The things that are not. And he set his love upon us. Herein is love. Not that you love God. He loved you. And he saw her. And Boaz said to his servant that was over his reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant, verse 6, that was set over the reapers, told him, it's the heathen woman. It's the Moabitess woman. It came from back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said to me, Ruth said to me, this girl said to me, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and had continued even from the morning. She'd been here all day until now. Except she tarried a little in the house. And Boaz said to Ruth, he got her attention. He said, "Now, hearest thou not, my daughter? Don't you go to another field, neither go from hence. You abide here fast by my maidens. And let not your eyes be on a field that they do reap. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. And I've charged the young men, they'll not touch you." See, our Lord loved us. We didn't love him. We didn't know him. Ruth didn't know Boaz. But he loved us, and he gave orders to the angels to watch after you and protect you and keep you and not let anybody harm you or hurt you before you ever knew him. Boaz told these young fellows, "You watch after her. Don't you let anybody mess with her. Don't you do it." And she fell on her face and bowed herself to this man, and she said, "Oh, listen. Why have I found grace in your eyes?" And that's a good question. Why did the Lord love you and me? Why did he choose us and pass by so many? There were a lot of girls out there in that field. Lots of them. There were a lot of sinners out in this world, too. He passed them by. "If thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger." And Boaz answered and said to her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother." Ruth had some things to commend her. This, you see, a picture won't walk on four legs. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It can't be perfect. And she's a picture of us, a poor beggar with nothing. And he loved her before she loved him, knew her before she knew him.
But she had been gracious to her mother-in-law. You and I don't have any graciousness at all in our sins when he found us. There was nothing to commend us to him. Nothing. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers. He reached her parched corn. She did eat, was sufficed, and left. And when she had risen up, listen, to go back to the field to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. Don't restrict her to picking up what's left. I don't care if she goes among the sheaves. And don't you shame her. Don't you reproach her. Now listen, I love this. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Leave them on purpose that she may glean them, and don't rebuke. Hadn't he left us a lot of handfuls on purpose? Good gracious. He said to these reapers, when you're cutting, just accidentally throw a whole bundle down. Just, you know, throw a whole bundle down. Handful on purpose. And man, she gathered. That's the love of our God. The love of God, how rich, how poor, how measureless, how strong. All our lives, all our days. God takes care of his own, even when we were pagans and in unbelief. All right, verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. I don't know how much I knew what that was. I forgot. It's a whole bunch anyway. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. And her mother-in-law said, where did you glean today? This is amazing. She had an abundance of barley. Where did you glean? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee. She showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. She said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Boaz, a type of Christ. It had that magic meaning and ring to Naomi that Ruth knew nothing about. But when she said Boaz to Naomi, it was the most glorious thing she could have heard. For listen, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. The man who's fallen for you and paid attention to you and you found grace in his sight is our kinsman redeemer. He's our kinsman redeemer. God has not left off his kindness to the living, to the dead. This man is our kinsman redeemer. What'd that mean to Naomi? That it didn't mean a thing to Ruth, but to Naomi. Turn to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25. Now this land that God gave Israel across the flood, across the river, Canaan, this land, God says in chapter 25 of Leviticus, verse 23, the land, you know, he divided it to the different tribes. This land shall not be sold forever. You can't sell it forever. The land is mine. It's not yours. It's my land. And you can't sell it forever. You're strangers. You're sojourners with me. You're my people, and you're with me, Israel, but the land's not yours to dispose of permanently. It's mine. I wish we could remember that, too. Not yours. It's mine. Earth's the Lord's in the fullness thereof. And you can't dispose of it. It's my land. So,
Verse 24, and in all the land of your possessions, you shall grant a redemption for the land. We're going to fix up a way for the land not to be lost forever, but to be redeemed. Now, if a brother be waxing poor. Now, listen. Elimelech sold out and left. Took his wife, Naomi. That was her land along with him. But he sold out and left. Went to pagan Moab. Now, she's back. But the land's in the possession of someone else. But God said you can't do that forever. If a brother's poor and sold his possession, and if any of his kinsmen, somebody of near kin, come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. If there's a near kinsman who is willing to redeem the land, buy it back, who is able, you've got to be both willing and able. Willing and rich enough, able, he can buy it back. Now that's Christ. He's our kinsman redeemer. What we lost in Adam, God intends to redeem. And our Lord Jesus Christ became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. His brethren, his children, his people. And he's our near kinsman. He's one with us, numbered with the transgressors. And he's able to redeem. He's the only one that is able. He's the only one that has a perfect righteousness and a sinless atoning blood. He's the only one who can satisfy the law of God and the justice of God and the holiness of God and the demands of God. He's not only able, he's willing. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly, he said, for my sheep. This Boaz, and that's the reason when Ruth came in with all this abundance, and Naomi knew this is not ordinary. These girls came in embarrassed and with very little and abused and mistreated, and she came in happy and with plenty. And Naomi says, where have you been? With whom did you? Somebody, you found grace in somebody's eyes. She said, his name is Boaz. And that rings a ring when I say Christ to you. Just say, everybody that loves him, that's just that's Redeemer. My Redeemer. But I lost in Adam's restored in Christ. Oh, she said, this man's our near kinsman. Now listen, verse 21, I've got to move. And Ruth the Moabite said, well, he said to me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all the harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that thou meet not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of the barley harvest, wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now then, here's a picture of repentance and faith. Now listen to Naomi as she talks to this girl in chapter 3. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? Rest and happiness and joy, that it may be well with thee. This is what I feel like when I'm talking to a congregation of beggars, sinners, Moabitists. I seek rest for you, that it may be well with your soul. I want you to see how you can be brought out of poverty into riches, brought out of sin into sanctification and life, brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And the only one who can do it is Boaz, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now she said that. I won't seek rest for you. Now, and that, listen now, Boaz is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens you were. Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now you wash yourself and you anoint yourself. Put raiment upon you and you get down to the floor. Don't you make yourself known to him. He's great and rich and wealthy and powerful and you are nobody. And don't you presume anything. Don't presume anything. He showed grace to you, but don't presume Don't you rush forward and make yourself obnoxious. Don't make yourself known to him till he shall finish eating and drinking. It shall be when he lieth down. You go mark the place where you saw him lie down. And you go in, uncover his feet. And you lay down at his feet. That's some orders to give a young lady. You talk about humility. But you know, this is where beggars are found, at the feet of the Lord. At the feet of the Lord. Mary, it always talks about Mary who sat at his feet. The story about the harlot who kissed his feet. Didn't say a word, just cried. Sat by his feet and kissed them, dried them with the hair of her head. John on the Isle of Patmos, even the beloved disciple said, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Don't talk and carry on. You sit at his feet and he'll tell you what to do. This generation doesn't want to hear that. The preachers and the people and everybody else, there's too much talk about what we're going to do for Jesus. What are we going to do for Jesus? How are we going to serve the Lord? Naomi told Ruth, keep your mouth shut and sit at his feet. Sit at the feet of his word. Let him speak to you. To you, speak to you. And listen, she said, all you say to me, oh, I wish I could get a congregation somewhere to say, everything you say, I'm going to do. Good night alive. Wouldn't that be something? She went down to the floor and did according to what her mother-in-law told. And Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry. Went to lie down to the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. At midnight, the man was afraid. Something startled him. And he turned to him and said, behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who are you? She said, I'm Ruth, your handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid. For you are my Redeemer. You're my hope. You're my help. You're the only one who can help me in all the universe. If you don't help me, I'll perish. He said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. I showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as you followest not young men, whether poor or rich. You follow your Redeemer. Now, my daughter, fear not. I'll do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know thou art a virtuous woman. And now it's true that I am your near kinsman. Howbeit, there's another one nearer than I. Now, that kind of throws a monkey wrench in this thing, doesn't it? There's another fella that has a demand on you that I have to meet. There's a fella that has a claim on you. I say this can't walk on four legs. It's like him talking about her being a virtuous woman. Well, that's not why the Lord loved us. He loved us like we were. But anyway, this other kinsman, I believe, is the law of God and the justice of God who has first claim on me. Christ loved me. He made me his own. And he laid claim to his church, his people, you and me, all who believe. But the justice of God had a claim on us. That's why he had to go to the cross to satisfy that claim. And the law had a claim. So Boaz went to see this other kinsman over here in chapter 4. And he said, verse 3, he said to the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother's, Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. If you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there's none to redeem it besides thee, and I'm after thee, and I'll redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I can't redeem it. I can't redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. You redeem. Redeem now thy right to thyself. I cannot redeem it. Law couldn't save me. Law couldn't save me. Had a claim on me. But all the law can do is damn, condemn, and curse. So Christ came and satisfied the law and the justice of God and redeemed us. He redeemed us. And while all this was going on, Ruth went home. Now listen, Ruth went home. Now she, don't you know her heart was beating 100 miles an hour, but out of poverty, out of want, out of misery, out of the beggar state, this man could redeem her. And he told her to sit still. And she came home to her mother. Verse 16 of chapter 3. Let's look at this. This is good. Chapter 3, verse 16. She came to her mother-in-law. She said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said, go not empty to thy mother-in-law. And then said she, sit still, my daughter. Sit still. Well, guess surely something I must do. Sit still. But I'll go see him again, make sure he hadn't forgotten. Sit still. Well, I'll go and sit on the front porch so he can see me out there, because he could, you know, take up with somebody else. Sit still. Sit still. Listen. Sit still, my daughter, till thou know how the matter will fall. The man will not be in rest till he's finished the thing this day. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I must be about my Father's business, redeeming my people. When he prayed in Gethsemane, he said, I finished the work you gave me to do. And when he was hanged on that cross, he said, it's finished. He'll not rest. And when he finishes it, he'll rest. And you will too. He'll enter into his rest, and you will too. Cease from his labors. I love that. Sit still now. Wait on the Lord. If he loves you, he'll call you. He'll redeem you. He'll save you. And you know, here's the last thing. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth. He chose her. He loved her. He chose her. He called her. He paid for her. He paid the price. She was his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. And the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. Brother, let me tell you, that is a statement that means so much. He hadn't left you without a kinsman. Ooh, he could have, but he didn't leave you without a kinsman redeemer, one who's able to save and willing. Oh, my goodness. His name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age, and thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, became nurse to it, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name. There's a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Isn't that so? Mercy of God. How great. How wonderful. The line of God's grace. There was Rahab, harlot. Pagan, found grace. God gave her a son, Boaz. And Boaz became a mighty man who loved God and a type of Christ He met this girl, Ruth, whom he loved, and bought her. And she bore a son. And to that son was born a son called Jesse. And to that son, David, man after God's own heart. I tell you, God's providence is better than anything. And God's grace is, oh my, just don't preach this work salvation to me. I don't listen to it. I want to hear about how God saves sinners. Hi, you sit still and he'll finish the work. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work for you and in you will finish it in the day of Christ. Salvation's of the Lord. All right.